You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
South Africa accusing Israel of charges of genocide at The Hague. Let's bring in Arl Brown, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto. And here now, Arl, thank you for the time. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
Arl, before we get to this, I want to ask you about, and obviously you, I'm sure you didn't hear it, but I had an interview just a few minutes ago with Mike Fengelman, who is Executive Director of Honest Reporting Canada, a nonprofit organization ensuring fair and accurate Canadian media coverage of Israel. And he had an article in the National Post that says, "It is up to Gazans to stop the fighting. The war could be over tomorrow if Hamas laid down its arms or the civilian population stopped supporting it." I've been trying to ask the question as an ignorant Canadian for weeks. Can anybody clarify what the relationship between Hamas and Palestinians are or is? Is that possible?
Hamas rules by force. When they were elected, but then they went after their opposition, they threw off members of the Palestinian Authority off rooftops in 2007, and they have ruled as a dictatorial entity ever since then. And in a sense, the Palestinian people in Gaza are also very much oppressed by Hamas, and Hamas uses armed force against any opposition. They obviously have some supporters, but we don't know exactly what the level of support is. This is not clearly a democratic government, but one that has brought terror not only to Israel, but also to the people of Gaza.
So how do Palestinians rid themselves or separate themselves from Hamas? Because I think the cell would be easier with allies if that was the case. Is there a plan there? Is there a way to do that?
The problem, as with any kind of terrorist entity or an extreme dictatorship, is that sometimes the people can't do it. They need help from the outside. This is what happened in the Second World War when we looked at the populations of Italy, Germany, Japan. And so Hamas will not leave voluntarily. They have the guns. They use the population cynically. They use them as a human shield. They don't seem to care about the lives of civilians. And the only way to remove them is to eradicate them as a military force, Hamas, that is. And that would be something not only positive for the people of Israel, who live under the threat of genocide from Hamas — they clearly stated their goal — but also as the large democracies way back in October declared that Hamas had brought nothing but terror and bloodshed to the people of Gaza. So the people of Gaza would also benefit. But in the process of trying to remove them, the sad reality is that in war, inevitably, there are large numbers of casualties. And we saw that in the case of Mosul, for example, in the case of Iraq, when the United States and their allies removed ISIS from Mosul. It took about 9 months. There were some like 10,000 civilians who died during that nine-month operation, 10,000. And ISIS was much less well-prepared, far less well-entrenched in Mosul than Hamas is. So it's a very difficult battle. Israel is paying a high price in the loss of its own soldiers. And of course, now you have this bizarre situation where South Africa, basically acting as an agent for Hamas, has brought this case before the International Court of Justice, which United States itself said has no merit whatsoever.
Where is this case going?
We don't know. We'll have to see what happens. And for anyone who cares about international law, the fact that this case was brought at all ought to be worrisome, because the credibility of international law had been very badly damaged in the 21st century. We saw that Vladimir Putin invaded Georgia, then he invaded Ukraine for the first time in 2014, then a massive all-out invasion of Ukraine in 2022, and they did so with impunity. international law could do nothing about it. The United Nations had been entirely impotent. We saw that in the case of Azerbaijan. They ethnically cleansed the region, Nagorno-Karabakh, and there was a ruling by the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, that had ordered the blockade to be lifted 13 months before it was entirely ignored. So international law has been in trouble. And now what I would suggest is a very cynical misuse of international law by South Africa is likely to bring international law into much greater disrepute.
Try to make sense of it all. Arl Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. Arl, as always, thank you so much for the time. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.